Listen up! You are now listening to News with My Fiance with DJ Ambush and Morgan Jones!
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome back to News of My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush, right here on your radio, or maybe it's playback and it's on your phone, but it's still on X-Ray FM, huh?
It's on your FM dial.
It's on your FM frickin' dial. You know, we do this 7:30 every Thursday. We've been doing this for like over 3 years now.
It's, I think, much longer than that.
We've been doing it for close to a decade.
That's
and
correct.
We're happy to have you here.
It's what we do.
Yeah.
Just almost 10 years strong.
We're legacy media. We have been News of My Fiance, giving you guys the news for over 32 years here on X-Ray FM.
Actually, if we're going to be honest, it's 31 combined years of experience, much like Cash App Patel and Dan Bongos. But we are not Cash App Patel, and we are not Dan Bongino Bongos.
I love Dan Bongos. I love it.
Do you? Oh, you love
it. I love it. It's okay. So great.
I was like, no, that man is awful. Don't love him.
Oh, he's terrible. He's absolutely terrible. Absolutely terrible.
What up, fiancés? I would just like to take a real quick, brief moment to thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I mean that, even though right now I kind of sound like I don't. Shout out to y'all. Shout out to every single person who hit me up. Wished us well. Mm-hmm. Wished my mama well. Mm-hmm. Heart surgery went well for her.
Yeah, you're.
And caring for her is not going great for me, but you know?
Yeah.
One of these days, huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One of these days.
Yeah.
I did have a quick moment. Lily and I stopped by my aunt's house yesterday to do a couple of things, and I found a huge photo album that was filled with pictures I haven't seen.
Wowzers.
And then I also found out that she's got an entire dresser where every drawer is just filled with pictures.
Whoa.
And if I wasn't terrified Ow. Of the 5-foot spiders that apparently live in this house, which I didn't get to tell you about, we did have a life scare yesterday when Lily opened a CD case and there was a very large spider on the inside of it.
Dead?
No.
Alive in the CD case?
Yes. And this was a big spider.
Was it a double CD?
No. It was the Dixie Chicks. I don't remember what.
Dixie Chicks are harboring demon spiders in their
Yeah, game. I think it's probably because they still had Dixie in their name.
Yeah. That makes sense.
No, I don't. What's really funny is that my aunt, I'm shocked that she would have a Dixie Chicks CD somewhere in her house. But shout out to the Dixie Chicks or the
shout
Chicks. That's
the
what
chicks.
Their name is now, I think.
But
yeah, no, it was huge. And I did, in fact, have to handle that scandal.
Portlanders, it's that time of year. You know what we're talking about. Spiders the size of your fist. Spiders that are the size of some of our phones. Some of them weigh just as much. They're in our basements. They're in our crawl spaces. They're hanging out in
Attics.
The kitchen. And you're like, what are you doing in here?
And it's like, yeah, same.
Yeah.
Good question.
You ever have like that feeling for people on the East Coast? You ever have that feeling that like someone's standing behind you too close in the grocery, in the checkout aisle? And it's like this person, you can feel their energy. Yeah. It's like that with the spiders here. They're that big and they're in rooms with you. And you're like, what? What did I see in the corner of my eye? Oh, it's something the size of me. A spider. Thank you. And now we must war.
Well,
one of our fiancés, Ashley, put a thread up basically reporting in that she did survive a attempted spider assassination while she was driving. She said she would let us know that she did not crash her car.
Thank goodness.
And, you know, she's still alive. Because nothing's more harrowing than that. You're driving and a spider descends in front of you.
I have been, this is going to sound wild, but I have been stung in the ear, on the inside of my ear.
No.
By a bee while driving. And that was terrifying. Still not nearly as scary as a spider coming down, like in your, right in your face as you're trying to see what the traffic is doing.
Nothing. Nothing. It's like the spider doesn't know. We can both die based on your actions.
No, exactly that.
Why aren't you taking this seriously?
It doesn't.
Right.
No.
Because it and also it would survive.
Yeah. It'll survive the crash. Yeah. Good morning, AJ. AJ said, good morning. Glad to hear you. Hang in there with the caregiving. Oh, girl. You're a blessing to your parents and community, Morgan. Thank you. I wish they, you know, cared. They feel like they don't care. I think that's my problem right now. But I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep showing up.
It's P-Town.
P-Town. P-Town early. Good morning, babe. I have a kiddo that is terrified of spiders so much that she has a spider gun. I want more information. Does it shoot webs? Does it snatch them up? Is it like a magnetic little situation?
And where can I find one?
Where do I buy it?
Because I need one. I need them. You'd be armed to the teeth with these guys.
Someone's got to do it. Good morning, Michelle. Michelle said, good morning. I wish jewel case spiders. Wait, I guess jewel case spiders deserve liberation too. Here's my, can we talk about this?
From this plane, from this earthly plane, sure. That type of liberation, I'm down for it.
I mean, I do think that they help the ecosystem,
though. Of course
they
do. We know, listen.
Okay, you don't want to talk about it.
No, it's not that I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
It's not that I don't want to talk about it. All of these things that I want to get rid of,
yeah,
that I want to demolish,
yeah,
that I'm in opposition to, they are part of the circle of life.
Yeah.
They exist here for a reason.
Yeah.
Are my legs still aching from bee stings? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they still are from 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks for nothing, Obama.
Am I going to kill pretty much every... Let me tell you something. On my way...
You're not going to kill any bees. I'll tell you that.
No. No, I'm not.
I thought you were about to say that. No, we're not. Let's cut that out right now.
On my way to my appointment yesterday.
Yeah.
It was hard to find parking in that lot. Like sometimes it'd be JP'd. So I park across the street and I'll cut through the hedges.
Oh, well, that's a silly thing to do.
So the last time I cut through the hedges, I was about to make this cut, and I looked, I was like, whoa, that's a...
You live here.
That's a different spider. Okay, let me back on out of here.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I went to the spot that was open the last time, and I'm like, okay, well, let me just cut through here. Oh, my God. The spider was so huge, I definitely should have taken a picture of it, but I was running late.
Mm.
But when I tell you, this entire spider was khaki colored. Like this.
Yeah.
The entire thing.
A camel spider, if you will.
It was a
camel spider.
Pacific Northwest camel spider. They're an invasive species.
No.
Okay. This thing was huge. And I was like, holy smokes. And I was like a foot from it. And I said, oh, okay, all right, let's go a little further down before cutting in. Because, yeah, man. So that being said, I know they're part and they help. And mortal enemies. They gotta go.
Well, can I say that, one, P-Town said it's a shotgun that shoots salt.
Be likey.
And two... She said, and this, I think we could probably just wrap the show after I say this. Spiders as security guards.
Hmm.
No one's grabbing those jewels. Write it down. Hmm. Take a picture of it. Do whatever you have to do to remember that forever. If you got something valuable, spiders as security guards. I'm in. I'm absolutely in.
You know, P-Town?
Deploy the spiders. I think everyone's running.
I'm in.
This is genius.
I'm in. I feel like it's interesting. When you put it in that, you know, in that dynamic,
yeah.
Now my whole relationship to spiders change. I want them to unionize. I want to make sure that they're treated fairly, that they have the things that they need while working.
It's amazing what changes your level of empathy so quickly.
If you're going to be working, protecting our valuables. I don't want you to be exploited. I don't want that. I do.
What will you pay the spiders with?
I'm sure they're going to want flies, random bugs.
Yeah.
Small birds, depending on the size of the spider.
The camel spider that you saw.
This is what I'm saying.
On, you know,
it's going to want a
hummingbird. MLK,
it's
definitely.
It's going to want a hummingbird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to want a hummingbird.
You know what? Okay. If we're talking about spiders entering the labor force, then it's a different conversation.
P-Town, do you see what you did?
Wow. You radicalized me.
And just like that.
Oof. Holy smokes.
I'm guessing that the spiders, unionized or not, would be better than the Uvalde Police Department.
In every case.
Especially in guarding the valuables. I think if that doorway opened and, you know, a bunch of spiders came down.
Yeah.
Shotgun or not, AR-15 or not, fam's running out of there. You get a spider web in the face, fam, there's panic surrounds.
I got another scenario for you. You're driving down the K.
Yeah.
And you look in your rearview mirror and you see a spider just descending behind you, right?
Right behind me or
right
like
behind you in the back seat. Further back in the car.
Okay.
All right. So that's option A. Again, you're back. You're driving on the K, and you see a Uvalde police officer sitting in your back seat. Which one of those two scenarios are less favorable, Morgan Jones?
A police officer, being in the back of my car, uninvited.
Uvalde specific.
Well, especially because they're going to lie about me. They're going to lie about me, like you broke in my car.
Yeah.
And sat in it and laid in wait.
Yeah.
And then you lied about me and said that, like, I stole your car.
Yeah.
And you were in the back seat
while driving,
having a nap.
Yeah.
And then I tried to kidnap your baby, too.
Yeah.
If you're wondering why I'm talking about Uvalde police, I just real quickly have to say that little news came out that more lies from that department. And I know you're shocked. Hold on to your hat. If you'll remember, they let us know that there was a teacher who did not close the door. And that is how the shooter got in. There is video of the teacher who, so the doors are supposedly auto lock, right? Like the bar doors. And there was a rock holding the door open. The teacher sees some suspicious activity outside, runs to the door, kicks the rock out of the door, closes the door, and then goes into the school, back into the school to warn as many people as she can. There's video. You see her telling kids, get in your classroom. And then there's video of her checking the hallway, closing her door, and turning her light off. The police have lied about this woman this entire time, saying that she didn't lock the door, saying that she didn't, that she had just hid, that she ran to her room and hid. All the while knowing that this video exists, all the while knowing that, and I will say, if you didn't know, which is not the case.
Yeah.
But if you're the police and you didn't know that the school's video shows her doing what she did, what are you good for? I mean, like, What does investigate mean? What kind of questions are getting asked around here? But this is a needed reminder for a lot of folks that when the police talk, you need to not care.
Mm-hmm.
You need to not hold that in your mind like it's true. They be out there making stuff up.
Completely. Completely.
They make it up and then they retcon it later. You know, get together in the car and chat about it. Well, we could probably 296 this one. Whatever. You whatever. Know what I mean?
Whatever.
You got to put the 312 on it.
Work it.
I don't know. Police talk, police talk.
What the 312 one?
Yeah. That's, you know, shorthand for, you got to make
framing
it up.
Somebody.
Yeah, else. Framing somebody. You got to, hey.
And the police wonder why we choose the spider. They wonder why we choose the spider.
As we were on our way in here today, I was telling you about that whole thing. And I got to, you know, if you're a teacher and you are doing your best to not just keep these kids safe and keep these kids learning and keep these kids in decent enough mental shape when they are going, you know, through, it's hard being a kid. Going through all the different things that it means to be in a public school. Their job is not supposed to be dangerous. It is not supposed to be dangerous to be a student. This is something that you have to do as a student. There's not a lot of choice. It's either you're going to go to school or you're going to get homeschooled. And well,
be true.
Depending on the home. But point is, police officers sign up for this. Police officers sign up with their own fake stats that say they have the most dangerous job in the world. And during that police academy, they're going to tell them, you know, you're the bravest and you're running into the fire and you're da 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 da. Those police officers got there and literally cowered.
They got there and was like, where is Bruce Willis? Because
someone's got to get in there.
We're put on a tank top and crawl through some vents.
Some ducks.
Yeah.
And
we need some duck work here.
Yeah.
We're not qualified for this.
No.
We're not. We train the kids on what to do if there's a school shooter, but we don't necessarily know what to do.
And there's my point.
Somebody it check is, with the kids.
It is more dangerous to be a teacher or a student than it is to be a police officer, in my opinion.
Now you said
now. I don't know if the, what? I said, what?
Now you said, don't believe the cops, right?
I did. And I mean it.
And someone said, wait, anti-ICE written on rifle shells and Sharpie isn't to be believed. This is a good question, fiance. Morgan, what say you? They found evidence. It says anti-ICE.
Those are
anti-ICE bullets.
I think it's a lie.
Yeah.
I think that if this was the Max Left, you know, that is so dangerous and has been causing all the terrorism in this country.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they were mentioning ICE, I think there'd be a different word that's four letters before the word ICE and it doesn't start with an A.
Yeah. I couldn't imagine ECE saying anti-ICE coming straight from the underground.
Fam.
That's not how we talk, guys. It's usually F words. Well, you know, FCC will not
well, I mean,
say
when you,
how we really feel about ICE, but we're not saying anti-ICE.
No, you can say I am you can. People say I am anti-ICE. You don't write that on a bullet.
People who are anti-ICE, usually don't say anti-ICE. They usually get classified and called anti-ICE. We're usually like, we're pro this. We're pro that. You know what I'm saying? We'll be like, I'm anti-ICE. Okay, are you a narc? Why are you talking like this at the rally?
Hello, fellow kid.
Right. Hello, fellow protester. Get out of here. 21 Jump Street A. I'm not falling for that crapola.
A spider and a cop in the woods. What one would you pick to fight?
I want the spider every time. I want the spider every time.
To fight?
If it comes out on top, it's not going to lie on me and say I deserve to die.
Okay.
Okay.
That's fair.
You know?
If a man-sized spider wobbles out of the cop cruiser.
Whoa!
I've done my job to evolve the policing system. You're welcome.
Woo!
I don't know which fiance this is, but you're diabolical. Oh, that's P-Tam.
P-Tam.
You're diabolical.
That is dangerous work
there. A man-sized spider.
What in the hell?
Also,
Harry
to say
Potter
wobbles out of the car, that just makes me see it. Great work. Great work.
Ooh.
Great work. And no thank you.
No thank you. No thank you.
I guess we should probably say what we plan to talk about. And who knows? You know,
yeah.
We didn't have a Monday show. Was I not here last Thursday? It's been so long.
Oh, yeah. You weren't
here. I wasn't here last Thursday. Man, I'm in show. So hopefully I don't just talk about things that don't matter. And we actually get to the news.
Man, I'm in show. What y'all doing?
What y'all doing?
What
you been doing?
What you been up to?
How's your mama? In local news, if we get to it, there's a little theme here. And that is Portland continues to get caught with their performative pants on. And if you are like us, we hate those pants. First up, Mayor Wilson does a rinse and repeat. He's about to hit the play button on citations for enforcing the camping ban.
Unbelievable.
Because you got to bring that back around. We have paused it.
And it's then the fall.
Bring it, yeah, you know.
Pumpkin spice and camping bans.
That's the name of this episode.
That's what we do.
Do we name episodes?
We don't.
If we don't, we should do this start. One.
Yeah.
And then we've also been caught pretending about small businesses again. And I know, fiancés, you're like, but that is the community. They're pretending to care about the community again? Mm-hmm. In national news, we're going to talk about Tom the Bagman Homan. We've already talked about him to give you the who he is and talk about what do you got going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then billionaires love ruining everything. I mean, creating jobs by building casinos.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Times Square said no thank you.
Unbelievable. So believable.
Yep. And, you know, that billionaire story about casinos is, in fact, a local story because it is New York's attack.
New York's attack.
So that's what we'll get to today.
Yeah. I did see you have a, was it Escalade teleprompter gate?
Yes.
What happened with the...
Well, you told me about...
Escalator
gate.
Yeah.
And then I didn't know that it also included a teleprompter malfunction. So it's escalate teleprompter gate.
Got you.
Because got it's you. The only thing that the United Nations has given to Donald Trump personally.
So from what I understand, there was supposed to be an investigation. And I know Cash has got his hands totally full right now. So I don't know if there has been an investigation, if it started. I think it was like a threat of investigation. But for anyone that's unawares, while heading in to meet with the UN, Trump and Melania hopped on the escalator, you know, to head on upstairs. And they got on the escalator, which was working. And then someone shut it off. while they were on it, and they were forced to walk the rest of the way on their own.
It's a really good thing that they're both in the best shape of their lives.
Peak shape.
It's a good thing that the first lady is in good shape because she could have fallen.
Yeah.
And I want to be clear. Donald Trump was standing right behind her.
Yeah. Yeah, had he fallen on her? Whoa, Nelly.
Well, the thing is I was thinking falling back. I wasn't thinking falling forward because you're just going upstairs.
Yeah.
It, when the escalator stops, it at that point becomes a staircase.
That's true.
And so...
Oh, I feel you.
You know what I mean?
I thought you were saying like at the stopping, the jolt causing the fall, but you're just saying the fall just because you're ascending, gravity doing its thing.
No.
Bring you back down.
Well, yeah. Yes, sure. Okay. I'm just saying that... You would jerk, mm-hmm. potentially. We didn't really see a major,
It was so low down.
Yeah. But, like, had she had fallen backwards, she would have fell on you, dum-dum.
Yeah.
And had she had fallen forward, could you grab her?
Nope. He would not.
Because I'll tell you this. I've grabbed my mom falling forward.
He would not attempt.
Broke my back, but I did it.
He would not attempt at all.
No, he would just stand there.
Yeah.
With his baby hands.
Her look, the look on her face was priceless. The way she, it's almost like she looked into the camera. It was like, what's going on here? What's the sabotage? That was hilarious. I loved it. So what happened with the teleprompters? There was some foolishness there as well?
Well, you know, this is all over the place because investigation and whatnot, but there's also the rumblings of this was... His own
team not having their stuff together.
No, own camp on purpose stopped the escalator and the teleprompter in order for him to have that to talk about because he bid on, you know, making that building, the United Nations building. Like he, as the real estate billionaire that he's supposed to be,
magnate.
That he didn't get the bid. He had bid like, I don't know, hundreds of millions of dollars. And it ended up being, you know, billions of dollars is what he said. Mm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And this was supposed to be like, I could have gave you escalators that work. I could have, you know what I mean? That's a rumor. I don't know what's confirmed. Nothing that comes out of this White House makes any sense. That's not news. None of the news surrounding this White House makes any sense. Like,
none of it.
It's all so stupid. But whether the other thing to me is, like you said, there was going to be an investigation into why the escalator stopped?
Into who stopped it and tried to embarrass the president.
What a waste of time. Walk up the stairs and shut up.
2025 America, see your life. You're listening to X-Ray FM at KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM and then Nehalem, Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM, streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. It's very believable. Very believable that this would be an inside job. In order for him to have something to complain about. Very believable. He is constantly preoccupied with the most important things. And this is something of great import. Okay. Him not being able to acquire this building and being able to expose to the world. What happens when you don't let that man have his way? The price that everyone pays. It's of great import. People need to understand that. So I get it. I do. I swear I get it.
I do just want to throw in some things real quick.
Give it to me.
Trump did demand an investigation. He asked the UN to preserve security footage and said that the Secret Service was examining whether the incidents were sabotage. And the UN said the escalator apparently triggered a built-in safety mechanism when a videographer in Trump's own delegation was walking backward, filming them, possibly triggering the stop. The UN said that the teleprompter was run by the White House staff, not their system. So any failure is their own responsibility. And they also noted they provide translation and sound via delegates' earpieces. So audio failures are less dramatic than Trump claimed. But if y'all didn't watch it, I'll just say that he got up there and he was like, I'm the best. I did the best. I ended 7 wars in 7 days. He didn't say the 7 days part. I was right about everything, and it's a best-selling hat. And I don't say this braggadociously, but I was right about everything. And I usually am because...
Me.
And...
Oh,
I should. Everybody says I should have got a Nobel Peace Prize for every single one of those wars I stopped.
That again. He'll never stop with that.
Nah, he never will. And that's fine.
Oh, my gosh. Bro. Absolutely not. Okay. Well, thank you for catching me up on teleprompter.
I
was aware of the Escalade, but I did not know about the teleprompter. So thanks for, you know.
Well, my favorite of him just, you know, riffing is the, you know, all the UN gave me was, is the UN supposed to give you something? Anything?
Is that what you signed up for? That's your job? People are supposed to give you?
The UN, I did all this work and the UN didn't even call me. I didn't even get a call. I feel like he wouldn't know who's from the UN if they did. You know what I mean? Because your staff doesn't know who anybody is.
Because of that point, there's an opportunity here. And I hope you guys are seeing it. I hope there's some enterprising young person out there. Set up the organization. Nobel Peace Prizers. Set it up.
He won't know
you guys aren't real. He won't. All right. Charge him whatever he needs to pay.
$5 million a prize.
To get the, and he'll do it. He'll do it.
$35 million in your pocket right now.
Boom. Nobel Peace Prizers. Go do it.
He'll have Tom Homan come out, pay you. Pick up the awards.
Just make sure it's elaborate. Make sure the ceremony in which he is receiving these Nobel Peace Prizes are elaborate.
But they also need to be in a Sheridan ballroom.
Yes. 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 Oh, my God.
Hey boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Yeah. So I think maybe we could take a little music break. And
break La Music, yes.
Yeah, come back maybe with some Billionaires Boys Club or...
Yeah, let's do that one.
Something like that.
I'm down. All right, we're going to hop on this music break and we'll be back in a few. Welcome back to News of My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush right here on X-Ray FM. Join the conversation. Shoot us a text at 971-220-5979. Again, that is 971-220-5979. I guess it was kind of apropos that I played some Beyonce going into our next story.
Indeed.
Wow. We got this thing, you know? You got all in my mental mind and you programmed me. I feel programmed.
That's unfortunate. You played that all on your own.
It's true. I'm in the hive.
Yeah.
I am in the hive. It's true. Oh, it's such a great community to be in.
It's certainly one not to go against.
No.
Yeah.
No. Our public gatherings are good, too. I just can't afford to attend any of them.
Not a one.
No. I've never once. Not in this new...
Oh, I was like, you've seen Beyonce.
I have. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Oh. Was that the moment you became a Hive member? Or...
It was then.
Yeah.
It was then.
I remember this.
I spent decades spinning her music, appreciating what it did to the dance floor. And that's where my true admiration comes from for a lot of these artists. If you make my job super easy and you give me these moments, then it's just like, I owe a debt to you.
Oh, interesting.
And... through Destiny's Child to her solo career? I mean, incredible, incredible
has,
moments.
Has kept
in the club.
Dance floor moving.
Yeah. I issue a similar, not to be like put on the same level, but a similar amount of respect to Kate Trinata. And I talk to other DJs about this all the time. It's like, no, we should be paying a monthly due to this guy.
Right.
Everyone should be just sending him 25, just cash app him 25 each month. Just do it. Just do it. Because he runs it. He absolutely, the Neptunes, it was a similar thing. Like, you know? So yeah, when I saw her live, then it was like, oh, where do I submit my membership application to the Hive?
Your blood oath.
This is Broadway.
Must be part.
This is Broadway. This is incredible. Yeah.
She puts on a show, man.
Quite the show.
Yeah.
Quite the show.
Well, that lady's husband is at it again.
Boom.
Everybody.
That's where we were going.
Jay-Z with Roc Nation and Live Nation teamed up with Caesars Entertainment and developer SL Green, which is one of New York City's largest real estate developing firms, on a $5.4 billion bid to drop a Caesars-branded casino smack dab in the middle of Times Square, otherwise known as the heart of Broadway. They pitched it like a win-win, more tourists, fuller hotels and restaurants, and a Broadway boom. They even dangled a civil rights museum and promised partnerships with minority-owned businesses.
Not a civil rights museum in the casino.
Well, it didn't say in the casino.
But it's part of the build?
Well, maybe.
Morgan.
What? Well, Jay-Z himself said it would benefit all of New York. You know, and it sounds sweet to some until you remember this is the classic billionaire playbook. Flash the money, promise the world, and locals often get left out. And we can just ask Chester, Pennsylvania.
Hello.
Where Harrah's Philadelphia casino and racetrack promised jobs years ago.
Hello.
Never delivered.
Ever.
Never
ever delivered.
So Broadway wasn't buying it. Actors, stagehands, theater owners, restaurant workers, and neighborhood residents lined up to push back against this casino. Their fear a flood of gambling tourists would disrupt a fragile Broadway ecosystem that is still trying to claw back from the pandemic.
Right.
Jason Lacks of the Broadway League said, quote, a casino can go anywhere, but Broadway only lives here. Hello. And the advisory committee agreed. They voted the project down. Not everyone was on the side of that community. One Reverend Al Sharpton, everybody's best friend, argued that the plan could give Harlem residents a piece of Times Square through a community stock offering. And called opposition an attempt to preserve, and I want y'all all to listen to me, historically white controlled entertainment spaces. Just let you know that that's the weaponization right there of systemic oppression.
Is that Reverend Al Sharpton playing the black card?
Playing the race card. I think he threw it down. He was like, I have this in my pocket.
He said, I got this and a possible six.
Former NYPD Commissioner Bill Bratton backed the casino with a law and order angle.
Oh, Lord.
Promising high-tech policing to make the crossroads of the world feel safer. Even our good friend Eric Adams stood firmly behind it, saying, quote, casinos can bring jobs. It can bring stability, tourism. We should not be stopping them at this local level. I don't know if he knows what local level means, because it would be on the local level. Where it would be, the casino.
Don't they have enough money to provide high-tech policing right now? We need the casino to come in.
Pretty sure they don't.
In order. I'm exhausted.
Really just not a whole lot of money going through the New York Police Department anymore. Defunded, not a lot, you know.
And you know who they had to thank for that?
The IDF.
Joanne Hardesty.
Oh.
Okay.
Duh!
She's defunding police departments from everywhere. Coast to coast. Coast to coast.
Let me find out Joanne Hardesty is the Kevin Dahlgren of
defunding police
departments. Defunding police. Lord. Lord. All right, let me finish this up. Okay. Because this story isn't just about Jay-Z or revamping Times Square. It's the classic billionaire boys playbook. The lies, the misdirection, the promises that sound good but only serve corporations. They don't actually help the communities they claim to. This is about class and classism and how people who've been on the receiving end of oppression can turn into the oppressors themselves, and capitalism calls that a success story. Yes, I am saying that directly to you, Sean, Corey, Carter, Jay-Z, Beyonce husband, billionaire boy, expletive. Broadway and the surrounding neighborhoods showed up for each other, for the residents of the city, and for the culture that's been living and breathing there for decades. They reminded everyone that community, history, and shared struggle can beat billionaires' cash grabs. So let us all be reminded that there's strength in numbers, and there are far more of us than them. For all the indoctrination, the division, and hatred in the air that we breathe, there is no logical reason that the working class shouldn't unite to improve our living conditions, make our work hours humane, and get back what we're owed from the taxes that we pay. When we show up for each other, we can stop their money from calling the shots. And that's important.
Boom.
And then I just got to say, imagine being Sean Carter standing next to Eric Adams, Al Sharpton, and Bill Bratton talking about, let's do work for community.
Bruh. Brooke says,
Brooke!
As someone raised in a religion that was anti-gambling, I never developed a desire to lose my money. Now, I can choose to, but nothing good ever comes out of a casino. Pass.
Bruh.
Good morning, beautiful fiancés.
Bruh, nothing good comes out of it. Like, we know it. We know it, and we know that when these kind of things go into a place like Times Square, we know what happens. Low-income people are even further displaced. They are not giving those jobs to local residents in the way that they claim to. Raises property value, makes it impossible to be able to, the congestion there. They're they had a few answers to things, you know, like, so it's like the restaurants in the area are like, heck no, man, you guys are going to bring in, like, because casinos will have,
oh yeah,
you know, they're
bringing those buffets.
Well, forget the yes, buffet, but like they'll try and do a fine dining option, you know, and then like a family buffet thing. And but casinos will have multiple restaurants,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
they have. Many have multiple places you can shop, yeah. Multiple things that you can do in there besides gambling and drinking. If you take, I mean, the restaurant scene there is also fragile for as, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
For as big as the economy in New York is, it is incredibly,
it hasn't,
tourist based.
It hasn't bounced back all the way yet.
Well, that, but it is, it's based on outside money. Mm-hmm. The people that live there can't, you know, there are obviously many wealthy people that live in New York, but the vast majority of people that live there can't afford to do the things that other people travel there to do.
Right.
But it is amazing to me, you know, like that you go from being, you know, someone who listened to Jay-Z since 1996, and it's not as if he hasn't always expressed highly capitalistic, you know, dreams and aspirations.
Sure. Yeah.
And that has been and is a part of our indoctrination. it is wild to me to see people get to big ages, especially with so much experience in those rooms that those wealthy people don't want you in. Mm-hmm. It's just still wild to me that the aspirations are still that. It isn't, it doesn't go from like, whoa, okay, wait a minute. I didn't know this before, guys, but I found out in order to be a billionaire, you got to exploit people.
Well, that's the thing. You got to view what you're doing as exploitation. And
you have to, or you don't.
In order to have that opinion, to arrive at that perspective, yeah. you have to believe that you're doing is exploiting people.
And if you don't, you don't see it that way.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then if he's, like you said, great example, he spent all this time having these doors shut in his faces, and being told, no, you cannot have access to these things. You cannot be here. This room isn't for you. The motivation makes sense that he wants to continue to show them, oh, no. Not only am I qualified and better than you guys, I'm going to keep excelling. Like, this is, classic villain origin story. You know what I'm saying? Like, all the denial, and I'm going to push through. Not that I see an issue with the system that is denying me, or the issue that I see with the system is that it is denying me.
Hello.
Not that it is a messed up system.
Right.
Right. Nah. Yeah. Yeah. Years of him struggling to be accepted in these circles, it makes complete sense.
That part does.
Yeah.
That part does. And he's also been rich longer than he hasn't at this point.
Factamundo.
Yeah. I mean, there's something to be said about that too, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. 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 Thank you for saying that, because even in us hearing stories about, or him giving us music, not just him, but just the way, you know, the culture works and the industry works and the business works, artists who have deals, who have money, are still talking about the days that they didn't. And they're still talking about it in present tense. So, yeah, you're right. It's you got to take a little bit of time to analyze. Like, yeah, he's been rapping about these things and selling crack and everything else for so long, but he wasn't doing that for the majority of the time that we knew him as an artist. So right. He's definitely been, you know,
Papered up
longer than he hasn't.
Yeah.
At this point.
Couple of texts. It's the BS that's been shoved upon our communities over and over again. Mr. Sharpton, black folks in Harlem don't need crumbs. Preach. This one, gambling only pays when you're winning. Peter Gabriel.
Thank you, Bob.
It's simple.
It's simple. It's gloriously simple.
It's so simple. P-Town also said, if they're so worried about the black folks in Harlem getting some funding, then why don't they just take that money that they're using to buy a property for a casino and just go take all that money to the folks in Harlem?
Say what? P-Town, that sounds a little bit too much like common sense.
The thing that gets me, and especially with someone who comes from those areas, and we just talked about how Jay-Z has been rich longer than he was not.
Yeah.
But Jay-Z has gone back to the same neighborhood he grew up in and has tried to sell them snake oil for years. There's like an extra okay thing for him to exploit the community he comes from.
Are you saying he just switched product from crack to snake oil?
Yes.
Okay.
And I will say this. People selling drugs is a symptom of capitalism. It isn't the cause, right? It's a symptom.
Absolutely.
But when you watch somebody who was a drug dealer or a big time, you know, like was moving weight, as they say. Mm-hmm. If at some point there's no regret, no, man, but then I realized what I did to the community. Then you are ready to do anything. You are ready to partner with anyone. You are ready to kill the kids in order to get the cheaper thread. You know what I'm saying? Like, you are so steeped in bootstrap, like, fanfic that, yeah, you will go to your community and say, you know what, you need Bitcoin. You got to get on. You got to get in on the ground floor of this crypto. You know what else you need? I'll give you a couple of scholarships. Mm. No true investment. This is a person who knows what investment is. This is a person who understands what investment is needed in those communities and purposely does not do it. Because it doesn't make money. Because $2.5 billion isn't enough, you know? It's just not enough. That's not the kind of generational wealth he wants to leave behind. Got to be a little bit more than that.
I will say, might be interesting that on one hand, people would argue that he's just one person, man, who made it out of the hood, and he doesn't have an obligation to save all of Black Brooklyn. He doesn't have an obligation.
No one asked him to.
Whose job? It's like, why is that all put on him for him to do that, right?
Yeah.
And then those same folk will be like, "See, this is what I'm talking about. Y'all need to support him. Y'all need to support his endeavors,
right?"
You know, he's trying to make change for us and y'all not supporting him. And that's the problem with us now.
To support the scam, because that scam is coming from a Black man that we trusted.
Are we talking about Umar?
You trust him?
Supporting the scam. There are many who do.
Do you trust him? Answer the question. I am confused.
It's not enough.
Why wasn't there a quick no?
I was trying to find another way to
play a song. I am confused.
I listen. Listen, we're both from the greater Northeast, greater Philadelphia region. I do not trust that man.
Thank you.
Don't trust him.
No.
I trust the spider more.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Call back.
Yeah.
At least I know what they want.
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to try to dig in my pockets.
I think we also know what Umar wants.
Yeah, he wants to charge you for a $500 lunch that he's going to pay for.
Well, yeah, but I mean.
She said, but yeah, but I mean.
But it's going to be in like Rittenhouse Square. It's going to be somewhere nice. You know?
Wow. Okay. That was amazing. That was amazing. That was great.
Whew. Well, shall we move to another story, or should we take a little break?
Let's do the local one. Was that the mayor?
Oh yeah, there's that. The title is Portland Cop Pretending Again, if you're looking for the right story to read.
Let's do that one.
Okay.
Let's do that one. Portland Cop Pretending Again. Yes, because boy, did that cause quite the stir in our household.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm scrolling. Apologies, guys.
And he's getting there.
Here we go.
He's almost there.
They're doing it again. Mayor Keith Wilson is pressing play on citations for camping ban violations.
Yuck.
It's just the latest chapter in the long saga of policy whiplash. The pattern is predictable. The problem is out of hand. Someone runs for elected office with a new strategy, promises innovation, and assures Portlanders they're seriously tackling homelessness. Once elected, they enter the recycle center. And it's the same old song. proven programs that actually help people get overlooked, while time-consuming enforcement, heavy policies take center stage. Portland has been flip-flopping for decades, from emergency shelters to sanctioned encampments to sweeps and citations. Every new plan claims to be a fresh, humane approach. But for residents experiencing homelessness, it's the same instability. Forced to move, lose belongings, or face criminalization. While the city spends taxpayer money on cleanup and programs that fail to provide lasting housing, Mayor Wilson frames citations as a necessary enforcement step. But let's be real, fiancés. These citations don't address housing insecurity. They punish people for surviving in public spaces, while city officials rinse and repeat policies that look active but don't actually solve the problem. Thousands remain unhoused. Housing First Initiative's permanent shelters and wraparound services actually work, but Portland keeps ignoring them, doubling down on strategies that waste time, money, and lives. And the pattern? Classic Groundhog Day. Stricter rules, legal pushback, temporary pause, restart with tweaks, underfund helpful programs, overfund consultants and enforcement, more houseless people, rinse and repeat. Even the city's own reasoning for pausing enforcement, we need more shelter beds first, keeps repeating. Court rulings like Martin versus Boise have forced Portland to navigate a fine line. You can't criminalize sleeping outside unless enough shelters exist, but the city keeps cycling through the same half measures anyway. This isn't innovation or necessary. It's been a morning.
Yeah.
It's a rerun we've all seen before. Loud announcements, big promises, and zero follow-through. Until Portland invests in solutions grounded in reality instead of optics, the same cycle will continue and the community will keep paying the price.
I don't want to pay the price no more. I don't want the people out there to pay the price no more.
What's that jackboot? Criminal consulting group that we paid to handle
so many.
Alchemy.
Yes.
Urban alchemy. I don't want to pay them no money to do. I don't want to be in league with them. I don't want to be in league with them at all.
I think this might be Steve's. Good morning, Steve. So, good morning. Did you say Rittenhouse Square? JFC, that was funny.
That's Jorah Knowles.
Oh, no way!
What you know about that Rittenhouse Square, Jorah?
Jorah Knowles. I feel like we haven't heard that name in a while. Hey, friend.
Man. Yeah,
I thought it was C's because I figured...
It's a Philadelphia reference.
It's a Philadelphia reference. Maybe the one person in Philadelphia that listens.
Yeah.
You know.
Wasn't a bad guess.
Thanks.
I mean, who isn't fed up with this? I'll tell you who isn't. The mayor. My man said, I'm going to solve houselessness in a year. Make me your mayor.
And mostly because I'm a good businessman.
Mostly because of that.
Mostly because I know how to negotiate. Where have we seen it? Where have we heard it?
It does sadden me that parallel you just drew. Wowzers. Same things.
Well, I could run into this next story real quick because it's very similar in vein of just
another local.
Yeah,
yeah. So that's what I thought I was reading, and I threw myself off. But go ahead.
Well, as we're getting real about Portland, we got to think about just how much the city leaders love to talk about supporting small businesses, using them as the community that they serve. They say it's about keeping Portland safe and thriving, but what we actually get are hostile, wasteful, anti-poor policies that don't fix anything for business owners or everyday Portlanders. The crisis Portland is facing, crises Portland is facing, housing affordable, or, wow, okay, so neither one of us can read today.
No, not today.
I'm going to take a second.
Housing for the lily.
Okay.
Housing for the lilies.
That's exactly how you pronounce that. Now I just have to find my place. Oh, there we go. Housing affordability, homelessness, unemployment, overdoses, public safety concerns. They just keep piling up. Yet City Council and Prosper Portland continue to sort of rinse and repeat those same policies that don't work. And they don't invest in the right solutions, but love claiming they care about that community. Take Capital Bar, a former favorite that has been closed for over a year, or Aztec Willie's, which recently shut down after 31 years of business.
Wild.
Rising costs are surely part of it, and costly repairs and exploitative landlords. But really, what does the city know about closed businesses? I know you're wondering, guys, and you're like, I know who's going to tell me. Enter Mr. Business himself, Dan Ryan.
Boom. Mr. Business.
Mr. Business. The commissioner wants to help businesses. Psych, sort of, a little bit. He's lying. His storefront support program, is that's what it's called, proposes tracking empty storefronts across the city, coordinating city bureau responses to crime, vandalism, and nuisances issued, and conducting exit interviews with businesses that close because he still thinks he's somebody's boss. Notice what's missing. No funding to repair vandalized stores. No money to cover rent, staffing, operations, or upgrades. No help with permitting or fees. It's all tracking and talking. Not talking about actually giving businesses the support they need. This is literally a performance. This is exactly the kind of half measure that makes you wonder if city leaders are really serious about helping small businesses they claim to serve. I don't wonder. I don't wonder.
No.
Meanwhile, Councilor Mitch Green is trying to tackle another part of the problem, Portland street vending. Right now, opening a sidewalk business is a bureaucratic nightmare. You need permits, you got to pay fees, and in some cases, you got to get permission from adjacent property owners. All before you can sell a hot dog. Green knows that struggle personally. Excuse me. Years ago, he tried to open a hot dog stand, Green Weenies, and the city's rules blocked him from doing that because the neighboring business said no. His proposal aims to streamline permitting, to cut fees, and remove unnecessary roadblocks, bringing Portland more in line with other cities our size, where street vendors can operate safely without jumping through hoops designed to exclude certain groups of people. A pattern that has echoes in historical policies meant to obviously keep Black, Latina, and low-income entrepreneurs off the streets.
Bruh, I just want to set up on the corner and sell pretzels and water.
Not everyone's on board with you doing that. And one of the places is the Oregon Restaurant and Lodge Association, which sounds fake. They've expressed some concerns, claiming removing property owner approvals and proximity restrictions could threaten existing businesses, especially in a post-pandemic environment. I just want to say real quickly how weaponized post-pandemic just as a phrase gets. Like, it's wild to me. Because translation there is they're worried about increased competition. That's what that is. And that reasoning sounds elitist to me.
Quite. Why protecting does it work everywhere else?
Yeah, protecting existing businesses from new entrants while the city fails to solve the real crises that we're facing makes absolutely no sense. What do we see here? Legacy businesses are disappearing. New entrepreneurs are being blocked. And a city government talking a big game while failing to understand or address the challenges on the ground. Portland claims to serve the community, but on the streets, they're still performing for show. There are no results that prove that they care. And while housing, homelessness, unemployment, overdoses, and public safety continue to rise, public safety concerns continue to rise, the city continues to ignore the data and the solutions that can make a difference. That's the problem. We was putting birds on it for too long. Mm-hmm. You know, like just a bunch of flashy promises, empty action, and a whole lot of inaction. That cannot be the city's legacy. You know what I'm saying? Like,
unfortunately, it has been for too long.
I just want to say that Dan Ryan would like to waste more of your time and money doing something that they should have been doing for decades. What in the actual expletive do you mean? Y'all don't have any idea how many empty storefronts there are in the city. What do you mean you don't have any? You have no mechanism set up to which you are talking to business owners starting during operation or when they're closing? You have no relationship with these people? You got no idea why a 31-year-old business is no longer in existence?
Right.
That's a failure. And what does
Portland Business Alliance.
I'm not trying to do too much, but Prosper, is that not their job? Should that, because what this sounds like to me is Dan Ryan is calling for another department.
Yep. And more funding.
Or another task force for, five people to do stuff that one should have been existing a long time ago. And two, I don't believe you'll do anything with the data that you receive from this.
Well, here's how this goes, babe.
In a positive way for the
raise the owners. Quote unquote issue, right? Establish the new department or task force.
Uh-huh.
Then after that money has been spent,
yeah,
it is found out that they weren't actually up to snuff. And now we have to hire an outside consulting group to come in and do the job that the task force or department has been set to do. And at this point, they've probably been doing it for 2 years. We're bringing this outside consulting group. We're going to pay them three times as much to give us a report another 5 years from now. This is this again with your rinse and repeating.
Fam?
It's just between the Portland Business Alliance, Prosper Portland, and whatever existed before them, the city having relationships with local businesses in order to, with all the regulation that's happening and all the licensing, how do you not know what is happening?
Fam.
This idea that I can't just walk out of the courthouse and grab a hot dog is ridiculous to me. It's ridiculous to me. And for these downtown businesses to feel as though there's going to be an issue with competition, why does this work in the cities that you love to vacation to? Why does this work in the hustle and bustling metropolitan areas that you love to go to and then come back to Portland to talk about?
Be out here eating street nuts.
Like, what are you talking about?
You don't want to be able to grab a burrito off the corner.
There is street food, street vendors do some of the best work.
1,000%.
Some of the best work.
Yeah. You're never going to have a better hot dog than someone grills hot dogs on the street. And, there's probably a lot of vegetarians and vegans listening to this, and you're like, super gross. Sorry. Fantastic amalgamation of meat parts.
What better
grilled on the street?
What better city would there be for it to be the home of vegan hot dog vendors?
Real life.
I mean, what are we talking about?
We've lost our spirit and our will to live. Our entrepreneurial spirit has been lost by the permitting and the bureaucracy and the red tape.
There isn't a
just kidding. Please know that I'm joking. I am not.
Of course.
Rene Gonzalez.
There isn't a single thing that I've seen local government do that makes sense with regards to wanting to revitalize downtown. We want to get people back downtown. So we're going to extend the parking.
Charge more for the parking.
Right. I had a conversation with a local business owner yesterday as one of his locations downtown. And when we brought up the parking thing, he was just saying that he was expressing some of the issues he was having getting the business open and just some of the different, you know, permits and regulations and different hoops they had him jumping through. And then I mentioned, you know, it's not easier. They're not making it easier for us to come downtown with extending the parking. And he said, he brought up something I hadn't thought about in all my complaints about this parking situation. And he was like, yeah. And our employees, they got to pay that parking. Like if they got to come downtown to work, now the parking's extended for them too. And I was just like, holy crap and crap.
It's funny that you don't think about that because when you work downtown, you pay to park.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, can you please not do that? Because this seems ridiculous to spend this kind of money every day. And it is a deterrent for me. I have purposely not worked downtown.
Yeah.
Purposely. I don't want to pay to go to work. I don't. I'm already doing that with however I pay to get there. I don't want to pay to park there. I think it's absolutely ridiculous that you expect me to. Honestly, I do.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it. I'm not doing it. I would not do it. I have such a problem with paying to go to work.
Yeah. let me give you a quick moment here, listeners. Why this strikes such a chord with me? It's because of where I'm from. It's like the pumping your own gas thing. It hits me hard. It hits me right in the gut.
Yeah.
It hits me right in the gut that I came to the land of milk and honey where I don't have to pump my gas. I could just pull up and the tenant will take care of me. And you guys, you felt like you needed the freedom to get out of the car in all types of weather conditions and get all wet and cold.
Snowed on
to pump your own gas because freedom. Because freedom, you've been fooled. You've been fooled to foolishness. And now I'm a little distracted and off the street food. Okay?
Back to it.
If I leave the house, I'm in a hurry. Okay, I hop on public transportation. I'm heading downtown because I don't want to park.
Yeah.
I haven't got a chance to eat and I just dropped the girls off, whatever. Da 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 da. If I'm on my way into work, I know there are at least 5 different street corners I can go to.
Right around.
To get at
the
least.
The door you walk into to go to work.
3 different types of foods.
Yeah. And one of those is going to involve a breakfast sandwich.
Yeah. And then it's going to take
I'm sorry. I don't need to. But I just got to say.
Yeah.
We're really missing out.
Oh.
We're missing out so big. The fact that we do not have quick, easy access to an East Coast breakfast sandwich. And I mean it.
Shout out to the Breakfast Club.
We're going to need to, you know, organize around this one.
Yeah.
Who has the entrepreneurial spirit, but also
the time?
No.
And the skill?
No. The money.
Yeah.
Ambush.
That we're right what back are we, at it.
Yes, the entire point.
But yes. I know I'm hopping off the train between me getting off my public transportation and getting to the office. I have multiple food options that are going to take me 5 to 7 minutes to acquire. That's it. These street vendors are working quick. Boom, boom, boom. There aren't lines. There's a difference between the street vendors and the food trucks.
Big time.
Big time.
Big time.
And you're at it. You're good to go. I mean, imagine a downtown. That corner's got hot dogs. That corner's got Chinese food because they have those too in these small little carts.
Yeah, you get you some good steamed dumpling, steamed bun.
What are we talking? Like, I don't know. It's like, do you hate yourself? Do you hate yourself, Portland? Do you not like yourself?
Ooh, this text says, can we get a pie spot on every corner? Best breakfast sandwich in PDX. Okay, wait. AJ, what are you saying? Is the place called Pie Spot?
Mm.
Does, or are you asking for pie?
On every corner.
Because that is the kind of thing that I would be asking for. So if I'm going to find out right now, AJ, that there is a pie place called Pie Spot that also sells breakfast sandwiches, I owe you my life. What are we saying?
Yeah.
Oh, what are you saying?
Oh, what are you saying? But yeah, it's it's one of the conveniences. It does create a...
She said,
it makes an oasis, honestly, out of your downtown. I can go to this cart and get me a fruit smoothie. It's right there. I go over here, get my breakfast sandwich, and then I'm in. Back outside for lunch, grab something on the way home. Like, what are we talking about? What are we talking about?
So frustrated right now.
I am extremely frustrated.
You can see he is literally flopping about.
Because you know what's happening right now? I'm turning into one of those transplants that comes here
and
complains about the things that aren't here.
Well, we don't love that.
We don't.
Nobody loves that in any city.
You know what I had in my city? You know what you guys shouldn't have? I don't want to be that guy. But for the love of Christ.
The place is called Pie Spot.
Come on, people.
Their breakfast sandwiches and pie need to be on every corner. They also have good coffee. AJ?
No.
This is the news I can use. I don't know if anybody else can use this news. But I am a... If someone says, what kind of birthday cake do you want? As y'all know, the only response is ice cream cake.
Every time, guys.
If it's cake. Yeah. But my first choice is going to be pie, baby.
She loves her pie. Mama loves a pie.
You got blackberry pie back there? You got a Marion berry pie?
There's a pie spot. I believe it's not Division. Whatever street that, what's the name is on? Pam Cut. I mean, the theater, Tomorrow Theater.
Okay.
But there's a pie spot like two blocks up from Third Eye Books that John Riley took me to. It's like Norma Jean's.
Oh, okay.
Holy smokes.
Did you have pie?
Yeah. Made sure I got a slice of pie. I can't remember what pie I got. Holy smokes. That's a pie.
The pie spot is on 24th and Gleason.
Mm-hmm. And they have breakfast sandwiches?
I'm taking a peek at the menu.
All right. Well, thank you, AJ. But yeah, man, I want to be able to have a downtown where I can decide what I'm going to eat when I get down there because I have so many awesome options. If I want to go in the restaurant and sit down, cool. There is no competition. When you have a restaurant, I'm going in to sit down and have a meal. Versus I'm going to stop at a street vendor, grab a hot dog and eat while I'm walking.
Right.
Like, it's like you don't understand it. It's like you haven't been properly exposed to how these things coexist and benefit each other. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous, especially in Portland, the Portland business community's pursuit to be a hustling and bustling other city.
Metro.
So bad. You want to do it so bad. But not do it. Like you want to be able to have a Ritz-Carlton, but you don't want to do the other things that like would help. Like what are we? I'm so upset. And here we are.
AJ said, "Ambush! Right now, we need the complaints. Keep it coming." Also said, Norma Jean's is good. It's pie spot might be better pie. We should do a tasting.
I'm down. Speaking of tastings.
Yes.
We got some things coming up. Well, first off, this Sunday, no requests. Me and DJ Cliff doing our thing. And it, too, will be my birthday party.
And your actual birthday.
Actual birthday. I feel like this has happened before at a no request.
It has, actually.
Unbelievable.
Ba, 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 ba.
Listen, ba, ba, ba. Last no request, it was AJ's birthday.
Ba, ba, ba,
and
ba, ba,
it was
ba, 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 ba.
Cracking in there.
It was popping. It was, you know, popping.
This Sunday, no requests, my birthday, you know, we're going to have a good time.
Show up, show out.
We're going to have a great time.
Will you play any Danity Kane?
Is there a specific birthday song that you're thinking?
Nope.
Just Danity Kane and just some DK, huh?
Just wondering.
Probably not.
Oh.
For my birthday.
So no dancing for me. Okay.
Oh. Okay. Yep. Yep. We also have some cooking with Am things happening in November. Yeah. All this food talk.
Mm.
My first pop-up will be in November. Top of the month.
That's a big deal.
It's a huge deal. You guys know I love to cook, and maybe you don't. So now you just found out. Guys, I love to cook.
I guess they'd have to be pretty new to know. Not know.
Yes.
This is not necessarily appropriate, but I am going to take a moment to give a couple of birthday shout outs because yesterday was my girl Birdie's birthday. Hey, Roberta. And today, to now, right this second, is the number one selector's birthday, Rashonda of Open Signal.
YGB Portland.
Big Tings, YBG Portland.
Yeah.
Ba, 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 ba.
Happy birthday, Rashonda.
I love you so much. Yep. Had to do that.
Yeah.
And then it's almost Ambush's birthday, which means it's almost my grandma's old birthday. So.
That's true. We did share a birthday. We do share a birthday.
Did.
Boom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazifying. And then look, we're in October, just like that. Boom. So quick.
Kind of terrifying.
Yeah. So quick. Fourth quarter. You guys got your Christmas shopping yet?
Please stop playing.
Oh, okay. Sorry. What happened?
This text says, Ambush and I have the same birthday. Have a happy one, friend. Pie or cake? Ambush is a cake man, right?
I'm a cake man.
Yeah.
I'm a cake man.
For those moments.
Yeah, I'm a cake man. I'm a cake man. I don't get heavy slices. I don't get big slices.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm a cake man.
I would like to read this because I don't think you'll do a good enough job. Morgan is 100% correct. We don't need the rest of the text. That's it. We can just leave it there. Make the shirt. Print it. Kyle.
Bob, don't. Bob, you know how she is. So, but, you know.
I'll finish the text.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Morgan is 100% correct. Pie rules. I even had some friends who made me a birthday pie one time. Candles and all. Those are good friends, Bob.
Those are. Me and Bob got the same birthday.
It's just a really great day. What are you guys again?
We're Libras.
You're Libras.
We're killing it. Bob and I are killing it out here. Libra down. What are we talking about?
I am actually pretty sad because my mom hasn't been able to make me a birthday pie in a while because, you know, crust from scratch is a deal,
yeah.
You know? And I kind of need one of those, you know? Before I can't have one of those.
Before, like, dietary wise, we can't have them anymore.
That's not where I was going, but I like where your head's at. It'll keep me from crying. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Having friends or your family show up for you in ways that seem small, like knowing the cake or the pie that you like, or knowing that you like pie and not cake, you know? Seems small, but it's the kind of thing that you freaking remember for your whole life. Like the moment that I said to my mom, I really don't love cake. Like, I don't like it. I don't want cupcakes either. I don't, you know, if we're going to do it, put the ice cream on it. Make it an ice cream cake. You know?
Which are some delicious.
And do make the ice cream coffee and make the chocolate cake if we're going to do this thing. Or we'll always take an Oreo ice cream cake. But when she started making me pies, it was like, I know that my mom loves me now.
It was then
I knew.
What up, C's?
He said, Steve, you are here.
He says, I came right in as Morgan was asking Ambush if he likes pie or cake.
Oh, no.
I froze for a second.
Like, what? Wait. What does this mean? What does this mean?
What's happening?
Oh, my God. Tomorrow is Phil's birthday.
Phil, Libra.
I'm Phil. Happy birthday, Ambush. I love y'all. Best show on the sphere still.
Happy early birthday, Phil.
Happy early birthday.
Get it popping. September is just chock full.
It's stacked. Great people, y'all got it. My birth month is a little tricky. We got some greats. We got some awfuls. We got some extra bad awfuls. We got some super duper deplorables, if you will. Right. We got evil geniuses. That is the Gemini way.
Town said, my son's birthday cake for the last 10 years has been the Costco pumpkin pie.
Yes! I don't like pumpkin pie, but I am so here for your son getting exactly what he wants. Oh my gosh.
Oh no.
Oh!
Jeez.
Wait a minute. Oh, I was about to say, who knows about this? Ambush, my youngest son, and Kevin Durant have the same birthday. That is absolutely insane. And also, we have
insider
2 minutes for Ambush to tell his Kevin Durant story. And if he's not going to, I'm going to tell my rendition, which is going to be wrong, but okay, it will be funny.
All right. So I do have a Kevin Durant story. Whilst kicking it with one of my homies, one of our business partners, my homies in New York who runs a creative space, we had a little get together. He hosted the get together at his house. Again, as you heard earlier in the show, I love to cook. And my homie Free loves when I cook. So if I'm in town, he's like, we're hitting the grocery store. We're cooking. We need you to cook some things. So he invited some people over. Kevin Durant was one of them. Yasiin Bey, formerly known as Mos Def, was also there, amongst a couple other people that are in their creative orbit there, that are the homies. So, getting appetites ready to eat, because I did cook. Getting appetites ready to eat, we took a little cannabis, huh?
You took it?
Took a little cannabis.
This is how you know that you were not a part of this culture, sir. We took a little cannabis.
We imbibed in a little of the cannabis.
Devil's lettuce.
So what had happened was the homie, Buddha, from Buddha and Grants, the producer, he had a, what's the joint you got me? The little silver thing.
Oh, like a pen.
Had a pen.
This
pen was like, what's this thing? Look, what is this thing? It's amazing.
Like it was more like a vape.
Yeah.
But not nicotine.
Exactly. And previously, I'd only really smoked J's and,
Yeah. Big blunts.
When you pull from a pen, it's completely different. And the type of pen he had, this thing was like, whoa. So me, Kevin Durant, Buddha, and Free were in the creative space. And I pulled on Buddha's pen. I pulled hard, bro.
Because you didn't know.
It filled up my lungs and down to my shoelaces. Entire body filled. And I coughed probably for about 17 minutes. So, you know how it is, when someone's coughing that bad, the first thing that happens is you're like, oh my God, are they okay? Once it gets past the point of that person, you know they're okay, you're fair game. And the laughter was continuous. And I'm laughing. I'm trying to break the cough by laughing.
Right.
Tears coming to my eyes.
No one's giving you water because men are awful.
It is hilarious. And at that point, Kevin Durant nicknames me Baby Lungs. And he proceeds to call me Baby Lungs for the rest of the evening. If you want validation for this story, I would suggest that you go to Instagram and go to the account for I Am Set Free. you will see a photo, a black and white photo of Kevin Durant, Free, and Mos Def in this creative space at the compound. I took this photo. And in the comments, you'll see interaction between me and Kevin Durant that validates
story.
The story. But yeah.
Also, as a third hand, not there witness, but real time recipient of, oh my God, Kevin Durant just called me baby lungs text. I know this happened. And I will forever be grateful for this story. Shout out to Free. My man's be making it happen. He puts the plan together. He puts the people in the room. He puts the people in the room and creates moments. Okay?
Moral of the
NBA player called you baby lungs.
Moral of the story is,
you don't be smoking.
I cooked for Kevin Durant and Yasiin Bey. Therefore, I'm a celebrity chef. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of News of My Fiance.
Absolutely not wrong.
Brought to you by Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush. And our illustrious podcast editor, Kyle G, Visual Audio. The playlist is updated. Kyle's going to add in all the texts. I see we got a couple late ones.
Yeah.
This weekend, this Sunday, my birthday party at No Requests, right over there at McMenamin's. And yeah, we're going to have a good old time. But go ahead.
I just want to say that this last text that I think that we should read says, I love that Ambush is telling this story. I almost died and we are all crying laughing. Ambush, I almost died. Us.
That's AJ. Yeah. All right, guys. So don't let the individuals distract you from the systems. Poverty is a policy choice. People over profits. Power to the people. None of us are free until we are all free. Thank you so much for listening.
That's the only reason we're not playing a birthday song. Bye.